Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for some mind, body, and soul food with host Tanya Parker. Well, hello, everyone. Hello. Happy October. And welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I am your host, Tanya Parker, here to dish up some deliciously delectable consciousness-raising creations for your mind, body, and soul. I'd like to thank the wonderful Gaye Adegbolola for singing us in with her Hungry Woman Blues. And you know we have the cure for that on this show. Where on second Sundays at 6, we serve up a big dish on natural and holistic healing to feed your mind, body, and soul. To get started this evening, let me share with you a bit about myself. Along with Spirit, I co-created Mind, Body, and Spirit Works to facilitate restoration of balance to mind, body, and spirit through divinely inspired holistic healing and education services. Now, I have always had something cooking with healing and teaching. So if you take a big scoop of years as a psychotherapist, prevention specialist, and corporate trainer, then blend in a dollop of additional education to get a natural wellness certificate, several years of developing my intuitive gifts, and finish it off with a few pinches of my current work with the body through massage and Reiki energy healing, as well as my work providing healing workshops, teaching public speaking, and facilitating conscious communication. And the end result is this creation, Mind, Body, and Soul Food, which provides an opportunity each month to feed our listeners with mind, body, and soul nourishing information as we give voice to the vision of truly gifted holistic healers and light workers. Now, a big thank you to all of you listeners who provide such amazing support for the show. We have just under 18,000 listens to date, and we continue to grow every day. Thank you to the thousands who tuned in to last month's show with Sherry Burton Ways of Creative Ways and Solutions, who shared wonderful tips from her new book, Feel Good Spaces, A Guide to Decorating for Body, Mind, and Spirit. So please check her out on demand here on Blog Talk Radio. So tonight, in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I have a very special guest. I met her several years ago when we happened to sit beside each other in our first shamanic healing circle. Since that time, we have had so many adventures together, and the latest being her journey to whole health as she experiences stage 3 breast cancer. She has been my friend, sister, confidant, healing colleague, trade partner, accountability partner, teacher, and student. And over the past year, she has been a source of inspiration as she not just survives, but she thrives with breast cancer. It is my honor and pleasure to welcome back to Mind, Body, and Soul Food the artist formerly known as Alicia Hill, Subira Falami. Hello, Subira.
Hello, Tanya. That was nice. I like that.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that. Thank you.
If Prince can do it, you can do it, right?
That's right.
Thank you so much for taking time out to share your story with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to share.
Well, for those who may not know you, let's start off with telling them more about who you are.
Well, oh, that's a lot. It's interesting we would start there because I just feel like I have I've really changed so much going, you know, on this journey. But first of all, I know that I'm a healer. Above all, I'm just at a loss for words. Who am I? entrepreneur, healer, black belt martial artist. You know, that's a really interesting question to ask someone that is, like you say, thriving with breast cancer, because it has it shakes your world, has shaken my world up so completely, and I know we're going to get to this a little bit later, to the point where I even changed my name. That may be a good thing to start with, because the who I am is really being redefined moment by moment right now.
All right, let's go with it.
Yeah, it's being redefined. I can say that prior to receiving the diagnosis, the phone call, you know, my world and the construct that I had created was very nicely put together. It's kind of like a nice little puzzle on a table. And when the doctor spoke those words to me that said, well, literally what he said is, Alicia, it's not good. It was as if someone had come to the table and just threw it up. Just all the pieces just went flying. And my sense of balance and order and structure and poise and all of that just went flying. It was as if someone had thrown a hand grenade into my life. And as I knew it, in a moment, it was blown up. So, yes, definitely redefining who I am.
And so, you know, as I mentioned, you were Alicia Hill, and you have had the name change. Can you tell us the meaning of Subir Falani and, you know, how that has come about?
Absolutely. Well, what I realized is that I had to pull on an energy or attributes of myself much, much larger than who Alicia, or who I knew Alicia to be, so to speak. Subira Falami, the first part of my name, Subira, means patience. And yes, and Falame means respect and honor me. Respect and honor me.
Okay.
So going through this process has really let me know what those words mean. I mean, I believe I had an understanding of respect, honor, patience. But I absolutely, most definitely learned what those things mean on a deeper level. You know, when you are sitting with yourself at 2 and 3 in the morning after a chemotherapy, and, you know, for me, just to have a T-shirt touch my skin hurt after treatments, the pillow hurt. I had to really learn patience. I couldn't make this process go any faster than it was going to go. And I couldn't make the pain or anything that I was feeling go any faster than it was going to go. I had to take it moment by moment, breath by breath. And in doing that, I learned patience. Respect, I learned a healthy respect for boundaries more so than I ever had. You know, I learned to tell people what was, you know, where my boundaries were. Like, you know, there would be times where people would want to do so much for me that I felt helpless. And in that situation, you know, there was so much that all of a sudden I was powerless over. I couldn't vacuum my own floors. I couldn't wash my own dishes. I couldn't, you know, there was so much I just didn't have the energy to do. And so, you know, I had to learn to tell people, you know, these are my new boundaries. And and then honor myself in the process and honor other people as well.
And that has to have been tough because, you know, having known you for so many years, you have always been just the epitome of strength. Mm-hmm. And having that, having worked so hard to earn that black belt in karate, you are indeed a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying warrior, not warrior, warrior.
Warrior.
And warrior.
Yeah.
Fierce.
Yeah.
You can approach life with a fierceness at times. And
mm-hmm.
so, wow, to be in a state where you can't approach it with that type of warrior energy must have definitely been challenging.
It, well, you know, what it showed me was a new side of warrior. A warrior, you know, is not always about being on the battlefield and, you know, being an energy that is ferocious and outward. Being a martial artist, I would look at samurai. And samurais were not always, you know, in the field fighting to the death or to the end. You know, they were also artisans. You know, they were, you know, and they did practice a lot all day. So what I learned was a softer side, the soft side of being a warrior.
Mm.
And in my mind, it was always this energy that was moving in and moving quickly and always fighting. And, you know, a lot of times the big part of winning the battle is what goes on in your mind, the strategy. And mm-hmm. so I learned to take this step by step, day by day. That was how I was going to make it. That was how I was going to win. So I developed a strategy. I started thinking about things like marathon, take it one leg at a time. So when the doctors would tell me, they laid out the whole plan. This is what's going to happen over the next year, into year three, into year five. These are the kind of treatments you can look at and how things are going to change for you.
Mm.
And my reality was that I needed to know what is the treatment that I'm going into now, what is chemotherapy about? And I had 21 treatments, which was about a little over 6 months worth of chemotherapy treatment. So all I worried about, or all I focused on, is more accurate, was chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got out of chemotherapy, we can talk about what's next. But I one of the strategies that I came up with was, one, just focus on this one thing right now. Because otherwise it was just too much. It was just too big. And even today, I deal with pretty much what's in front of me. I'm still in treatment, but that strategy has been one of the strategies of the warrior that has really been a benefit to me.
Mm-hmm. What a real lesson in being in the present moment and not thinking too far ahead, just
mm-hmm.
getting through each day-to-day-to-day experience.
That's right.
Sometimes each moment-to-moment.
And really, that's really what it was. It was, sometimes it was a breath at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would know after chemotherapy, the next day you get a shot. It's called Neulasta. And that was the shot that sent me into excruciating pain. I knew I had about 5 hours after I had the shot. I had a 5-hour window where things would just slowly start to kind of disintegrate. And And after that, I knew that for about 3 or 4 days, I was just down for the count. Literally, I was in bed. It was not a pretty scene over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the things that inspired me about your journey was your courage and not hiding. You know, years past, cancer was the C word, and you weren't supposed to speak it aloud or talk about people having it. And you have provided such transparency to us about your process, your journey, to the point where you have been providing these amazingly powerful video blogs for us to follow.
Yes.
What in the world possessed you?
Well, one of the things about me is I don't like to be, I don't like to feel afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, when the diagnosis came, I felt afraid. That was the first thing that, that came up for me. The first feeling was fear. And so I'm one of these kind of sisters that's going to, you know, if it scares me, then I need to go and I need to face it. So so that's what I did. I went and I said, I'm going to share this journey. It took me probably, I think, maybe 2 or 3 weeks after getting the diagnosis for me to be with it within myself. And then I made that very first video, which was basically a kind of a coming out video, that said I was just given a diagnosis of cancer. And from there, I just kept going. You know, I mean, I wish I could say I did it, you know, for these, for everyone else, but honestly, I did it to save my life. I knew that if I went into hiding, I just didn't feel that that was going to be a good thing for my my surviving. So I took that option away from myself. And in the process, I learned that I was actually inspiring people. And, you know, honestly, I was just trying to save my life. Mm-hmm. I was trying to make sure that I didn't go into hiding. I stayed out. There was also a day where I went online and I was looking for stories of African-American women who were diagnosed with breast cancer. And unfortunately, there weren't many.
Okay.
That just, it really upset me because I was on the internet looking for me, looking for somebody with my face, my voice, that could tell me what her journey was like, and there were a few, there was literally a handful. So I said, well, I've got to add my voice. And, you know, that's what I did. I said, I'm just going to make videos as often as I'm able to, and when things, you know, ideas would come up, and I would, you know, go through a procedure, and I know I didn't know. Nobody had talked in my family. Nobody talked to me about breast cancer, and it was not in my history at all. And so I had nothing to grab onto. So
right.
When it's not there, you create it, and that's what I did.
And lady, did you create it? We got to see you with your dreadlocks, and then as your hair got shorter. Or when you cut it, and then when it fell out due to the chemotherapy, to the point where it has started growing back and coming in at a different grade, I might add.
Very different. It is totally different than what I had before.
Right. We have seen your scars. We've seen where your port was to receive your chemotherapy. We've seen your markings for the radiation that you receive now. We've seen you standing up, outside, driving, lying down in the bed, barely able to speak, just the many different faces of you.
Yeah.
All very powerful.
Yeah, sometimes I look at those and go, I did that? Wow. But I just, you know, it was frustrating, disheartening. It was painful when I went and looked for myself and I couldn't find my voice, myself. And so I just knew that I needed to be a part of that conversation for the next woman that is, you know, that's going to be looking for herself out there.
Well, you know, I do work with women around throat chakra issues, and sometimes we speak very, very softly.
Mm-hmm.
And when you started adding your voice, you didn't come out speaking softly. You came out with a roar, and that
mm-hmm.
has become your trademark, the roar. And so and can you tell us the meaning of the roar? How does that resonate
sure.
so much with you?
Sure. Well, a couple of places. I have been chanting Nichiren Buddhism, Nam-myo Renge-kyo. I've been chanting for about 3 years. And, you know, the symbol of the lion is very important in Nichiren Buddhism, about, you know, just that power that a lion has. And I was actually posting with a friend, you know, our friend, our brother, Reverend Anthony Farmer,
mm-hmm.
one day. He woke up on one of his posts and he said, "Good morning, world," or something like that. And I think I was just about to go chant. And what I did was said, "Roar." I just roared on Facebook. It was my wake-up call to myself. It was a way of me telling the world I'm alive, I'm here, I have a voice still, and that this that I was living through, I was going to do just that. I was going to live through it. It was not going to kill me. My spirit, my drive, my enthusiasm for life. And so I was going to face it with the heart of a lion. So I started roaring every day.
You roar every day, and it is amazing to follow you on Facebook and to see the people who will just post on your page, roar. And you must have the world's largest collection of photos of lions on your Facebook wall.
I think I do. Mm-hmm.
Oh, lions of every type of of size and age, and lions on fire, crystal lions,
mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
whatever lions all over.
yeah. It's, I mean, that animal has really supported me in staying strong.
Mm-hmm.
Really supported me in staying strong and continuing to move forward. And to remember the truth of who I am, that who, yes, when I looked in the mirror and, you know, I had locks down past my elbow and this, you know, I had a lion's mane, if you think about it.
Right,
even
yeah.
before I started yeah. roaring, I had this huge mane of dreadlocks. And, you know, the chemotherapy, you know, made it so that, you know, I released those. And so I had to find a way to tell myself that, whatever my physical body was looking like and going through at that time didn't change the truth of who I am.
Yes.
And so that, for me, that roar just helps me to remember that even in my weakest days, my weakest moments, I am still strong.
Yes, you are. And on that note, I'd like to pause to give callers an opportunity to ask you a question.
Sure.
So if anyone would like to call in to ask a wonderful question or a comment with Subira, please call 917-889-7806. Again, that number is 917-889-7806. please follow the instructions of the prompt so that you'll know how to speak with the host. So we have a caller from the 443 area code. That's the Baltimore area with a 9110. I like that, with a 910 exchange. Caller, you're live on the air. Do you have a question for Subira?
No, Tanya. It's Lisa from Facebook. I wanted
to call in
and say hi to you and to Subira, that I've been following her since I found out I had cancer back in March, and she's one of the reasons I'm still going.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. I'm so humbled. Well, you just roar, Lisa. You keep going. And, you know, just know that, you know, it's a journey that we're on, but it's not going to, it is going to change you, but it's not going to, it's going to leave you with more than it takes from you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, just for the simple fact I've got three sons that are adults and a daughter who's only seven, there's just so much right there to go for.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then with watching your YouTube stuff and just keeping up, I mean, I don't have breast cancer. I have cervical cancer that spread.
Mm-hmm.
But you just, all you do is you can keep going at points one moment at a time.
That's right.
And you just want to give up and you can't. So you look for other outside resources. And I had talked to you a while ago. And
mm-hmm.
you said, anything you need, you just look on my stuff and you find the reason to keep going. And I did. So thank you.
You're welcome, Lisa.
Oh, how wonderful. Lisa, it's great to hear from you. I like to follow your posts. You know, I have 50 million Facebook friends who are Lisa,
yes.
But I know exactly who you are. And it's good to hear your voice in person, or at least over the phone. Blessings
yes.
to you,
you guys
along
take
your
care.
Journey. You too.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
You too, Lisa.
Wow, it's nice to know that you are inspiring others. And sometimes you don't know until you hear from people. You know, they just look and they gain so much from you, and
mm-hmm.
it's not until they happen to send you a note or a message or call in like Lisa just did and let you know that they are getting something from your journey. Which is amazing. Mm. Mm. Other callers, it's 917-889-7806. We have several people who are on the line, but I am not seeing the little symbol letting me know that they want to speak. So I want folks to make sure to follow the prompts to speak with the host so I can know that you have a question for Subira Falami. That's a show business name if I ever heard one.
Oh, boy. Well, we just never know.
That's right. Well, you know, in preparation for the show, I asked you if you could come up with a top five of challenges of experiencing breast cancer, because many people have no clue. They just see October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We have a pink ribbon campaign. I'll wear pink. I'll post this status on my Facebook page. I'll do this and I'll do that. But really, they don't know some of those challenges. So if you could share with us, I would appreciate it.
Sure. And, you know, I'm of course, sharing just mine for other people. It's going to be different. But I would say, for me, like I said, just having that disorientation with life, it was like all of a sudden I was in a Salvador Dali painting or something, and everything was just, like, melting. So it was like I lost my mind. That was the first thing for me, just a loss of mind. As I knew it. Another big one for me was finances. I've been just shoot straight from the hip from the beginning, and, you know, there's no need to start hiding now. Cancer literally wiped out my finances. And I want to say just a special thank you to the Cancer Support Foundation. who's run by Cindy Carter here in Baltimore, that has been my saving grace. And for anyone who is in, at least in the state of Maryland, that doesn't know about the Cancer Support Foundation, please go there. It's cancersupportfoundation.org. Lots of help there. But, you know, having my finances completely destroyed was tough. My body image, like you know, I've been an athlete all my life. So, you know, in at least from the way aesthetically anyway, I was in tip-top shape. Little did I know what was happening inside. But my body image, because of the transfiguration, you know, there's transformation. But what happened for me was a transfiguration with, you know, on July 18th, I had a double mastectomy. Even before then, going through all the tests, my body started changing. Different surgeries and tests and things. So that was a big one. Being in chronic pain, I have never been one that has been in a lot of pain. I'm not used to being in chronic pain. But what the, you know, the poison does, the effects immediately and afterwards. I mean, I have not, my last chemo treatment was June 18th, and I'm still in pain. You know, just my bones and my joints and stuff. Not my bones, my joints hurt a lot from that delicious cocktail. And being tired all the time, the amount of fatigue is incredible. I'm not used to being tired all the time. So that's another thing. Okay. I think that was five.
That was indeed five. So major challenges there.
Yeah.
That impact your mind, body, and spirit.
Yep. Really were. I mean, you know, I had to really, you hear a lot about the new. And, you know, I understand that. The way that I had been in my body has changed so much. And so, you know, there's a whole new, even the way I get out of bed in the morning is different. I used to be able to, the alarm would go off or whatever, I would wake up and boom, just jump out of bed. Can't do that today. You know, my hands feel like, you know, stiff gloves when I wake up. So I have to actually massage my hands, massage my feet, massage, you know, my different joints. So I have to, and the good thing about that is, it again, patience, right? It's caused me to slow down.
Right.
And really honor my body and pay attention to myself. I don't just get up and hit the floor running like I used to. That's not necessarily a bad thing in my book.
Right. Well, speaking of that, not necessarily a bad thing, a lot of times when cancer comes, we immediately think of the challenges. We think this is such a terrible thing. But from the conversations that you and I have had, I know that you also view this as something that has provided incredible blessings for you as well. And, you know, cancer, this, a lot of people say, I'm a breast cancer survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, I've always seen you as going beyond surviving.
Mm.
Actually thriving, even in the midst of the pain and the fatigue and, you know, when your mind isn't all that you want it to be and when your body isn't the image that you want it to be and when your finances, when your money is not just funny, it's hilarious. So, you know, I purposefully asked you only five challenges because we want to hear more of the blessings, because we want to enhance and emphasize. We know the law of attraction says that energy flows where attention goes. So
mm-hmm.
we're counting the blessings at this point. So
mm-hmm.
what's your top 10 list of blessings from experiencing cancer?
And number one has got to be rest. I have had almost a year of rest. I don't know any other way that I would have given myself a year. I literally haven't been able to work, so I just said, I haven't. And you know what? God, I trust you. I trust that you're going to take care of me, and I have been abundantly provided for. And I've been able to just shut down 100% and rest. I have been able to watch this community rise up around me. It, you know, they say it takes a village to raise a child. Well, literally, I felt like I was in an incubator. And the loving hands of so many men and women have come and just picked me up like an infant. And there were times where I was like an infant, where I couldn't move and couldn't, you know, a lot of that, and just took care of me. I would have never even allowed, I would have never thought of allowing people to care for me on such a deep level, but I had no choice. So I have today, I have a this sense of peace that I got because of this journey. Like, I know I'm safe. And it took going through this for me to know that I'm safe. It's allowed me the opportunity to recreate myself. Like I said, I had put this really wonderful life together and designed it the way that I thought it was supposed to be. And I really believe that as spirit, bigger, greater, wiser than me, for sure, said, I got something better for you to do. And the only way that you're going to do it is if I destroy everything that you built. And let's do this together. Because I, you know, I was really working, I believe, a lot out of ego before. And I had, you know, I've had a year almost to just be quiet and listen. You know, and that's where all these video ideas would come up for me. And I started seeing a pattern, like, okay, I think I'm seeing the direction. You know, I start seeing what doors began to open without me pushing my way through.
Right.
So having community and knowing without a shadow of a doubt that the universe completely supports me. The other thing is it brought my body into alignment with real health. Right? So I see all these ads on TV about these, you know, what beauty and what health looks like. And it always looks really thin and it looks like this and looks like that. I wasn't paying attention to little things like my skin. Like, was my skin healthy? Was it elastic? Was it, you know, I was walking around with a little bit of gray in my skin. I was, you know, cancer had been eating at me, what the doctors say, it was probably 8 to 10 years. So
wow.
I thought I was the epitome of health, right? I didn't smoke. I don't drink. I was exercising at least 4 to 6 days a week. And I mean, I don't mean I go in for 30 minutes. I mean, I could be in the dojo 2-3 hours a day, lifting 2 to 3 hours, running, whatever. I mean, I was in, on the outside, what people would say, this is health. Well, when they got inside and started doing sonograms and stuff, that was not so. So I got to really get a better understanding of what health really is. It's not that I'm, you know, I looked great, 135 pounds and muscular. And I was dying. So I really got to understand what it is to be healthy, what it is to feel healthy.
Yeah.
I learned to surrender, and that there's such a good feeling being able to just fall into grace. And I think the last thing is being freed from limiting thoughts that I had about myself. I would have never known how strong I was had this challenge not come on the road. And so the things that used to scare me, like, oh, I can't do this and can't do that, I have no qualms. I'll go out and try anything, do anything I want to do now because, you know, at 41, I got the divine opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with death, and I lived.
Mm.
So there's nothing that can that scares me now. I still don't like snakes, but, you know.
That makes
they
two
still
of
scare
us.
Me, but you know, there's not much that scares me now. And what I want to do, I'm doing. As my strength builds, I'm doing. I'm not afraid of life anymore. It's like, first of all, I get it. It's here. It's for me. I'm making it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So those are my off the top of my head. Oh, another one. I'm sorry. I thought of another one. Deep conversations with people. You know, people would come over and offer to, like, clean my house. This is a classic one. They'd come over like, okay, Alicia, today we're going to clean the house. And I'd be like, no, sit down. Because I'd spent so much time by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So people would come over, and you know, you were one of them, right? You'd come over and like, Alicia, I'm going to cook for you today or whatever. And I'm like, no, Tanya, just sit and talk to me. And I got to really have these awesome conversations with people that would come over to do this, that, or the other. And I just, let's just talk. Really heartfelt connection. Yeah.
And get caught up in the vortex.
Yes, that is my house.
That is your house. Yeah, you think you're going for an hour or two, and 3-4 hours later... People are calling, looking for you and everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are you done yet?
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. That's quite some list.
Yeah, that's those are the things that so far, and you know, every day a new gift, a new little golden nugget pops up and I get to spend time looking at it going, wow, this too? And don't get me wrong, I still have it hasn't even been 12 months yet. Not done with treatment yet. And, you know, I'm able to see, but I've always been one to orientate myself to the good. I said, if I'm going to go through this, I've got to find the good or I'll quit. So every day I'm looking for something good.
What I don't hear you saying is, well, when the radiation is over, when I've had my reconstruction, you are celebrating each moment now.
That's right.
You're not waiting till the end of the process to say, okay, I got through this and whatnot. You are getting through with each stage. It's like, wow, let me count my blessings about this and this and this.
Well, you know, Tanya, that's, a lot of that is because it's really easy, especially those of us who, you know, are, you know, really conscious about our life and it's really easy to say I'm in the now and I'm present and I thought I was too. But mm-hmm. I will tell you, when you get a diagnosis like that and you realize how, while life is also, you know, strong and resilient, there is also a very tender part of life, very soft and fragile part of life, even though it is also, you know, life is also really, you know, strong, the strong adventure. And so I realized that call could have been, you know, it could have been something even quote unquote worse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so every day, every moment is important to me now, like it was not before. Before I was like, oh yeah, you know, when I graduate, when I do this, I realize I don't have that luxury. None of us do really, but
mm-hmm.
most of us don't have something like this, you know, we don't get to have this conversation with death, and I don't see that as a bad thing today, and there was a time where I did, but being that I had that conversation and it has gone on for so long, I realize how fragile life is, and that Alicia, get to the business of living now.
Yes.
You know, and there were times where I didn't know, like, okay, you know, especially when it got toward the middle and end of chemo and right before the mastectomy, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And every time I would get through the next phase, I was like, yes, you know, what is it I want to do? And I'm going out to do it, you know, forget sitting here and no, I'm going to go and suck up all the marrow that I can, all the juice of life that I can. I want
I
it
love
all,
that.
You know, I want it all because I
all
don't
right.
know when I'm going to get a phone call again that throws my life on another kilter. Listen, the bottom line, it's going to happen.
Right.
One
right.
thing is guaranteed. None of us are getting off this planet alive. So, start living.
Wonderful. Start living. I'm going to borrow that, suck up all the marrow.
Yeah.
I love that.
All
I
of it. I want
adore it.
All
yes.
of it.
All of it. Well, we still have several callers, and if anyone would like to speak with Sabira, you can call in to 917-889-7806. Make sure you follow the prompt to talk to the host so that we'll know that you would like to be heard. That's 917-889-7806. We're on with Sabira Falami, who is having her first interview since the diagnosis of breast cancer almost a year ago.
Yeah.
What a year it has been. And you have talked about things have shifted and changed for you a great deal, and, you know, all that time you spent in the dojo, and you've helped other people with their fitness goals, you've helped other people with their business goals, et cetera, et cetera. What are some of the things that you do now for personal replenishment, refreshment, and renewal?
Well, first of all, I start every morning honoring, I've spent the first part of my morning honoring my ancestors, the people who went before me, because I honestly believe that their spirit is fortifying me throughout this journey. So just taking quiet time in the morning to honor the shoulders that I stand on. Very, very important for me.
Yes.
And chanting twice a day is also, you know, keeps me in rhythm with life. I do acupuncture every Wednesday. Kidada Fields here in Baltimore with Women in Wellness. So that is just, you know, a delicious treat for me every week. I get massage. And stretching, you know, I'm actually back in the dojo again, which for me is just, oh my gosh, it's heaven. Let's see. I have started journaling. I had when the diagnosis came, I all of a sudden couldn't write. I couldn't think. I couldn't speak. I had no words. So I think within the last week, I've been able to pick up the pen again and start just kind of chronicling what I've been living through this last year. So that helps.
Because you had an active blog prior to the diagnosis.
I did. And then I couldn't write anymore. I couldn't, all I could do was get in front of a camera, which I don't know how I could do that, but I couldn't write. But I could get in front of the camera and I could just talk about what I was feeling, you know, what the treatments were like. I have a good friend, Crystal Clear Cummings, who went with me to she's gone with me to just about every single one of my treatments. And so we've got, you know, doing collages and started scrapbooking. You know, I do a lot with music, just listening to music. I was gifted an acoustic guitar, which I always wanted. What else am I doing? You know, anything that feels good, honestly. I've painted the weekend before the mastectomy. A friend of mine brought over some paints, and we started watercoloring, which I'd never done before. Just anything to try to get it, you know, get my feelings up and out and to help me to relax and restore. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, we have a caller who would like to speak with you.
Okay.
It is from the 804 area code. That's the area code in which I grew up. We have a caller with a 313 exchange. Caller, you're on the line with Sabira Falami. Do you have a question? Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, this is Kevin Parker calling.
Oh, this is my mother, everyone. This is the first time my mother has listened into my show, other than the archives that I'll play for her periodically. Mm. So I am most honored that my mom is listening. Yay!
Tanya, I took time out, and I have been so inspired and impressed. And I am so glad that you reminded me to tune in. I missed the first couple of minutes, I think, of your show tonight. But I have been so impressed, and I want to say that Sabira Salami most likely is one of the most one of the strongest women, courageous, and so full of courage, patience, strength. I admire her so much.
Thank you.
You know, Tanya, that we have had a number of cancer victims in our family.
Yes.
Losing Tia, my deceased cancer at such a tender age.
Dana.
Dana, I said.
Her daughter, yeah. Dana Robinson.
Yes. Anyway, I am so glad I took time out to listen tonight. I have really enjoyed the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
It will be a part of my, from now on, I will certainly make it a part of my schedule. Listen, take time with and listen. It was beautiful.
Well, thank you so much for listening in. Mm. And you have met Sabira. You know, you've seen her several years now at our Easter family gatherings. And so now you get to hear her story.
Yes,
and thank you
so
much for calling. Well, thank you to my mom for calling in. And we have another caller from the 703 area code. And, Mama, I'll talk to you tomorrow, okay? Love you. And this 703 area code with the 407 exchange. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Sabira Falami. Do you have a question?
Yes, Professor. This is Carolyn Watson from your class. How are you?
Okay, one of my public speaking students. I'm great. How are you, Carolyn?
Doing well. I just want to thank Alicia. I can't pronounce your first name. I want to get the spelling of your new name.
That's okay,
Sabira.
Alicia. Yes.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell it?
Alicia or Sabira?
Sabira.
Okay. S-U-B-I-R-A.
Sabira.
Sabira, yes.
Uh-huh. And my hat goes out to you for being so open with your condition. You're very strong, and it helps me because I have fibromyalgia and I have chronic pain. So I understand the chronic pain issue, and I also have family members that have cancer and have had cancer. My father, who has had it for 18 years, so he's a, he was an 18-year survivor. So you are doing a wonderful job, and God is awesome, and he will take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just keep the faith and just be strong.
Thank you.
Yeah, my mother is here, and she's also saying she has a brain tumor, and mom is 79 years old, and she's doing awesome, you know.
All right.
So we are here.
Good for her.
And thank you. Know, I
thank you're you. Welcome. You're very welcome, and thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling, Carolyn, and blessings to your mother as well.
God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you. Wow. You just never know who you'll impact, right?
Yeah. Never know.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So, do you have any words of wisdom for anyone who is currently experiencing cancer?
I do. You know, I sat and I thought about that a lot. So I will share with you some things that that I've come to realize in this journey, which is, number one, all of your relationships are about to change. And it's okay. You will think you have more energy than you actually do. So allow yourself to rest. You know, you're going to feel fear and powerlessness and anger and sadness, as well as joy and pride and, you know, exuberance when you actually make it, you know, from one to the next to the next, you know. So allow yourself the full range of emotions, you know, just allow the full range of emotions. Important to remember that everyone who is in your life also received a cancer diagnosis. It's not just, you know, me because I happen to be walking around with the tumor. Everyone in my life, believe it or not, got a cancer diagnosis. And everyone is going to deal with that diagnosis differently. It's manifesting in my body, in the physical. But anyone who loves me and who is a part of my life and who's in life with me, just based on the fact that they know me and are involved in my life, means that they too now have to deal with the fallout of cancer. And so I learned to have compassion for everyone in my life who shows up in whatever kind of way, because they're going through an emotional change as well.
Yes.
Some people draw closer to me. Some people actually pull back, and it's all good. I understand that, you know, they're going through, they're dealing with a diagnosis as well. So for me, when I, you know, really, how do I say this? When I got clear about the fact that I'm here on planet Earth having a human experience in this body, totally descending. You know, sometimes we can be so, what do they say? My grandmother used to say this, something, you know, you're so heavenly something that you know earthly good. I can't remember how it goes exactly, but
okay.
I'm sure somebody out there knows what I'm saying. But sometimes we can be so in the ethers, and that we don't either accept that we're having a human experience, and sometimes illness shows up as part of a human condition, and it's okay. Like, I really had to work with myself about that, and that was a big one, okay? The, you know, the doctors and nurses and, you know, I have a whole team of allopathic doctors as well as naturopathic doctors, and I had to get to the point where I could actually trust them. I didn't know what I was going through. I didn't know what was coming up. So I really had to pray and understand that I would only attract to myself the highest, most qualified person that, you know, I even thought maybe we have a contract to do this thing together, the surgeons. And so that this is something that I'm going through for my growth.
So in a sense, like your soul made this contract before you came to this earth.
Yes.
To experience this. And the surgeons and other caregivers, providers also had a contract to work with you through this.
That's what I believe. And I
gotcha.
Have a whole, that's a whole section coming up next. I hope we can get into that because I have some realizations around that. But you know, there'll be a new harmony, a new way of being that the person's going to need to find after treatment. Well, during treatment, but especially after. You know, your whole life has been, you know, rocked, and you get up and it's like, I remember, I think yesterday morning I woke up and I thought there's all this, like I'm standing on top of a heap of rubble, and I'm having to go through and weed out what is useful to me now, or what may not be useful to me now that was useful 9 months ago or whatever the case may be. So really, you know, for the person that's going through this to give themselves the opportunity to just let it all fall apart, just let it go. Don't fight. It's going to fall apart. Let it fall apart. And you'll know when the time is to start putting it back together, or it will be put back together in a new way for you. The other thing is that other people will be inspired by you, and that's going to feel really odd. It feels really, it's a humbling experience to have people say, you know, Alicia Subira, you inspire me, and thank you. And I'm like, I'm just trying to stay alive, but I'm so glad that it works for you. I'm so glad that it inspires you. And that too is a different place to be. Everything to me now looks brand new. It feels brand new. You know, even my body is, everything is just new and different. I would tell them that this time is actually, this time is about you. Be unapologetic and self-centered. Be unapologetically self-centered. Like, I don't apologize that right now I am the center of my universe.
Yes.
Getting to know me again. I even wrote on my whiteboard, I give myself permission to focus on myself. I don't think I've ever done that in life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, be unapologetically self-centered. It doesn't mean you're selfish. It doesn't mean you don't love other people. It doesn't mean you don't care. But it means that you have got to put you first so that you make it.
Yes, it's a life or death issue. Yes.
Yeah, there's no need to apologize for, you know what, I'm too tired to go to the movies. Maybe I just don't want to. And no doesn't require an explanation. Just no. No thank you. No thank you. Yes, thank you. It's really that simple.
That simple.
Yeah. Other thing is to have an advocate or support at every appointment. Do not go to appointments alone. There is so much information that is given at every appointment. You cannot capture it all. There were things that were told to me in January, and it was time to do those things in February, and I would get flustered because I'm like, you never told me. Yes, we did. It's written down. The people that went with me to the appointments have it written down. And so I knew it, but I forgot it because there's so much coming at you. So have someone else there. They can remember for you. They can take notes for you. They can ask questions for you. You know, they probably have a little bit of a more clear head. My first couple appointments, I just cried. I went in there and I just sat there and I just cried. Other people were advocating for me, taking notes, asking questions that I couldn't think to answer, ask.
Right, yes.
Breathing. Look for the light in this healing crisis. I guarantee you the light is there. Look for the light. At 2 in the morning, you know, when you're in bed and you're by yourself and you're not feeling great or whatever's going on, you know, and I was rushed to the emergency room after my first treatment, all I kept saying was, Alicia, look for the light. Look for the light. You know, and then move at your own pace. You know, other people will want you to, let's plan for Christmas. And I can't plan for Christmas right now, not because I don't think I'm going to be here, but because I need to get through today. I still have these treatments ahead of me. I don't know where I'm going to be. So I can deal with right here, right now, this moment, and maybe a week out, maybe 2 weeks out, but I can't push it much further than that. That's just my process.
Yes.
But it is honoring whatever your pace is.
Yes. Hmm. Now, it looks like we have just been chatting away and time is winding down. Those are some wonderful words of wisdom, and I want to let our listeners know that you are available to share words of wisdom. You are available for speaking engagements, to talk about your journey and different mm-hmm. aspects of it. So mm-hmm. can you tell us a little bit about how we can get a hold of you
sure.
for situations like that? Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. Well, the first place is, you know, Facebook. You guys know I live on Facebook. So most definitely contact me on Facebook. It's Alicia R. Hill, or you can put in Sabira. Either way, I will come up. You can phone me at 410-756-0303. I'll say that again, 410-756-0303. I also have a website, which is PathOfTheSacredWarrior.com. PathOfTheSacredWarrior.com. And then my Gmail is, or my email is PathOfTheSacredWarrior@gmail.com.
Now, you have some upcoming events that you'd like to share.
Mm-hmm. I do. On the 27th of this month, and probably 1 month, you know, once a month moving forward, I'm going to be hosting or facilitating a spa day at the Soul Spa here in Baltimore. I have the link is on my Facebook page. If it's not there yet already, I will have it there no later than 10 o'clock tonight. And, you know, the path of the Sacred Warrior is really, even before I got the diagnosis, it was about a holistic way of looking at the body and of healing. And, you know, the path is all about basically the healer's journey back to themselves. And I believe we're all healers. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the doctors had to ask me about my body. Nobody knows my body like I know my body. I've been in it for 42 years. Nobody else knows my body like I do. Nobody else knows your body like you do. I don't care that they have all these wonderful, you know, diplomas on their walls and, you know, letters behind their name. That's wonderful and great. And they can help to inform you even more and guide you in a process. But at the end of the day, I know my body, and I'm learning it more and more. We all do. We are our own first physician.
Yes.
So that's what the path is all about, becoming more and more aware of your relationship with your body, your relationship with others, your relationship with why you came to the planet. I believe that basically, eventually, we're all going to go through a healing crisis. And that healing crisis may not look like a physical manifestation of the body for you. It may look like your business, you know. It may look like something happening where you may lose your home or lose your business or, you know, something happened to another family member. Some healing crisis is going to happen. By healing crisis, I mean something unforeseen that you probably in your normal conscious mind would say, I don't want to experience that. okay? It's coming up to be healed, to heal something deep down within you. And so for me, those kinds of experiences serve to transform and or to transfigure you from the inside out. And so a sacred warrior actually listens for and lives from what I call a meta message, right? Your life is giving you a message bigger than the kind of day-to-day mundane messages we might get about whatever, I don't feel well, or, you know, I'm going somewhere, go left, go right. The reason that you're here, there's something you came to the planet to say, something. And you came with a purpose. And 9 times out of 10, that revolves around being of support to others and yourself in some way. And I can't tell anybody what their reason for being is, but when they get quiet, you know, when I was, like I said, those 2 a.m. times where I was by myself, I started to get clear about my message, you know, about love, compassion, wholeness, wellness, and peace for myself and every living being on the planet. That's what I speak about. I speak about, you know, affirming to people that you have a message, you have a purpose. You didn't come here just to take up space. Somebody needs to hear something that you have to say, something, whether that you say it through art, through video, through song, through dance, through building a business, through a wonderful blog talk show, whatever. You have something important to say, every single person on the planet. I honestly believe that. And I believe that your life is the path. You're actually, as you're living, the path is unfolding. Where people always say, well, am I, you know, doing what I'm supposed to be doing? If you're doing it, yes, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
Right? It is preparing you for something. It's a setup. It's setting you up for something bigger. I know. Somehow, I just knew that this cancer diagnosis was setting me up for something bigger than I could imagine, probably even bigger than I can imagine right now.
Yes.
But I know for right now, what cancer gave me was this idea of a meta message that you have, there's something bigger you came here to say. And allow whatever the transformation and the transfiguration that you have to go through, allow it to take you there and trust the process. Trust the people who show up to usher you from, you know, from one place to the next. Somebody may take you from station 1 to station 2 and then may never show up again. There were people that were here in January and February that are nowhere to be seen now. Well, they were only meant to be here to get me to March.
Yes.
And then new people showed up in March to get me to April and May and so forth and so on. So I get it. That's the message I want to share. It's about, while you're walking on your path, it's about practice. Practice love. Practice compassion. You know, practice peace and understanding that you are already whole. So, you know, in my case, I had a double mastectomy. That doesn't take away my wholeness. I'm still a whole person. I'm still a whole woman.
Amen, sister. And you all heard it here first with Subira Falami, and you too can hear it in your organization, in your church, in your community group, etc. She is available to pass on this amazing message, to pass on this roar as she follows her path of the sacred warrior. And I really want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us this evening.
I thank you for having me, for giving me so much time to talk.
We extended the show. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it is. I appreciate that so much.
Sure. Well, it's an important message, and it certainly provides a great deal of insight into one person's journey with breast cancer, but it's a universal message, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we all have our cancer to bear, our cross to bear,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
whether it's something that's physically showing up in our body, it may be something else, but the lessons that you have left us with certainly are relevant and helpful for our growth and development.
Thank you.
So I would like to invite listeners to tune in again next month on the second Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for more mind, body, and soul food. That date is the 11th. We will again feature internationally known numerologist, Reverend Dr. Craig Wright, for Numerology November. He was absolutely fabulous last year, so make sure you mark your calendar and prepare to call in to receive insightful messages channeled by this powerful teacher and intuitive. I'd like to invite you all to visit my website, mindbodyandspiritworks.com, or call me, Tanya Parker. Contact me at tanya@mindbodyandspiritworks.com for more information about my holistic healing, teaching, and writing services, including my upcoming classes and events. I'd like to let you know that I will be having the first of monthly throat chakra celebration circles in Seabrook, Maryland on October 26th. That's a Friday night. Also, you can find information on my meditation CD, Meditative Morsels, Prayers and Meditations for Feeding Your Mind, Body, and Soul, which is now on iTunes and Amazon. You can also check out my new video blog on YouTube. Look for Throat Chakra Shaman. And feel free to connect with me on Facebook as well. And to like the show's page, Mind, Body, and Soul Food. And while you're there, you can sample my CD in the store and find out information on upcoming guests. And also, it's a, kind of a storehouse of holistic healing information, so people do post a lot of great info there. You can also find me on Twitter and LinkedIn. And, of course, I invite you to like my show and follow me on Blog Talk Radio. So this evening we have really been inspired by this nutritious and delicious meal prepared by Sabira Falami. And for leftovers, I will leave you with some mind, body, and soul food to go from Kay Yao, who is the late coach of the NC State women's basketball team. And I thought it was very appropriate considering we have our Black Belt Sensei in the house. And she said, when life kicks you, let it kick you forward.
Mm.
Can I get an amen?
Amen. I love it. Love it.
Thank you all for dropping in to dine on a delicious meal at the Mind, Body, and Soul Food Table. And we hope to hear you next time.
One, two, here I go.